I want you to look carefully with me now at chapter 2 of 2 Peter. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that if anyone as a believer can read chapter 2 and be delighted, there's something about them that's abnormal. Now, if you will notice, no wonder he says that. I want you to watch closely from verse 1 of chapter 2, and then I'm reading. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, if you read further in the chapter, you would get more and more and more of Peter's description about what he sees and what the Spirit of God gave him as he put this down. But now, lest you find that altogether discouraging, I want you to look, please, now at chapter 3. And will you look at verse 8 of chapter 3? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing, notice these words, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then if you read further here from verse on, you would find the admonition to live a holy life. So it isn't all just and only conditions that are existent. And by the way, these conditions that are described in the first of the reading tonight, they are existent in America tonight. These very things are existent tonight. So when you look at the description that Peter gives here by the direction of the Spirit of God, his description of the false teachers, it's quite clear. And he does so to help you, help me, detect the false teachers. You ought to be a detective when it comes to falsehood. Did you hear me? This is every believer's responsibility. The reason that we have such false teaching going on today is that somehow, some way, we have believed that it's not important for us to speak out rightly now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about being ugly as a mud fence in your disposition. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, though, that because you know him, because you've been redeemed, because you're on your way to heaven, and because you have a burden for people to be saved, and because you're concerned about wanting to grow in grace, I mean, with all of that being so, then there is a responsibility for you to speak out. And then there is a responsibility when you detect falsehood to oppose it. All of you, including Crabtree. So, this is given to us to help us detect them. And it's a description enough to make you want to avoid them. Particularly, we have to be very careful about the local assembly. We have to be very careful. Some of these kinds of individuals, they are so persuasive. You at first meeting, you would never dream that they are who they are. You wouldn't dream it. You wouldn't detect it at first. And so with this being given by Peter, let's understand something. When we look at the text now, let's understand that it's not enough to reject their false teachings. But you also must reject their way of life. Not just and only the teaching, not just and only the speech, but their way of life and their pretense behind it. And so they have some tools that they use. The warning comes with the verses that we read at first and continuing. But one of their tools is deception. So you must know the Word of God. Now, let me ask you a question tonight. Don't answer, but let me just ask you this. How do you get to know the Word of God? May I say to you that, and I'm not belittling this, but it is not enough to come to the assembly hall and hear the preaching for you to know the word. Amen. It's not enough. Some people think it is. They're wrong. Now, I in no way am demeaning the preaching of the word. Oh, no. But there's more to it than coming and listening. Because you've experienced this. Pastor preaches. And the message is tremendous. And it is accurate. And he's done enough praying and enough studying to be able to, when he presents it, for it to be exactly so. Of course. But you don't remember all of it. And some of the things that you forget are very pertinent to the case that you're going to face tomorrow. So what do you do about that? Why, you go home and open the book. You go home and open the treasure. The heart of God. The breath of God. You go home and open it. And when you open it and you look at it and you pore over it, you and I need to be immersed in the Word of God, and the immersion in the Word of God will so saturate us with the truth that when we speak, the truth can come out of our hearts and out of our mouths, and we can oppose the falsehood that's being taught. So, when you go home, it is not the box that you can turn on. Now, I'm not going to camp there. But it's the book that's available. And when you read it and think about it, don't get in a rush. Train yourself to hang on every word and the for. Hang on every word. you will find that if you're diligent, with a determination, with the challenge that you find as you read and study 2 Peter 2, that you will retain, because the Spirit of God will bless your efforts to study the Word of God. Let me say it again. The Spirit of God living in you will bless your efforts. You must be determined to gain what is necessary for what you have no idea about what you'll face for the morrow. You must be determined. So they have a tool called deception. And they capitalize on the idea of fellowship. Oh, yes. To infiltrate. And with this fellowship, it has a purpose behind it in their own being, that they can find a way to get to you with their false teaching. And they will do their best. And they will capitalize on being able to converse with you personally and convince you of their knowledge and convince you of their success. And therefore, deception, fellowship, and the fellowship is deceptive and it's destructive. But their purpose is personal. It's personal to the degree that they find pleasure in leading you astray for the cause of the devil. They find pleasure in that. It's gleeful for them to believe that they've caught your attention in such a way that they can lead you astray with their speech. They like that. May I tell you tonight that there are churches all over this city tonight that have all kinds of false teaching from the pulpit, from the so-called Bible hour, even through the music that they're singing. And the falsehood is showering the crowds. Thank God that is not true here. No, you should say amen with a shout. Amen. Somehow, if you were to check and think, I'm old enough to do this. I remember how it was in church, Pastor, in the 40s. There was such a reverence. There was such a respect. Even on the part of people that weren't saved. And they had a respect for the Word of God. And they had a respect for the man of God. And they had a respect for the church of God. And they had a respect for the missions. And they had a respect for the fact that people were going out and endeavoring to see people come to Christ. They had a respect for that. And then, as the years progressed in 50 and 60 and into the 70s, some of the great, great, great fundamental churches were built in America. And it was exciting. and some of the great, great preachers. It was exciting. But with every generation, there is this possibility. Listening to the truth, believing the truth, preaching the truth, singing the truth. But a coldness comes to the heart because the person experiencing the coldness is seeking something that is more exciting. It's called a pleasure orientation. And the result of that is they turn their back on the Savior. They turn their back on the Word of God. And they take prayer out of the public schools. And at Christmas time, no longer sing the great old songs that have been so used through the ages. And the result of that is full-blown movement toward immorality. That's exactly what you've got today. Why? They turned their back on God. That's what Peter's warning about here. And so, when you understand and when I understand that the truth itself is the key, then you understand that when the false teachers cannot accomplish their devious purposes with lies, then they start to scoff and ridicule the Word of God. And that's why you have in classrooms being taught and students believing the theory of evolution. And the teachers are spouting. And those who sometimes claim to be saved are liberal in their thinking. And people are being led astray because they think doctrine is no longer important. And so, they scoff at the truth. And they want you, they want me to forget that the very word that they deride is in control by the God of the universe. They have no idea. They have no clue. If it were not for the Word of God, if it were not for the Savior, if it were not for God, the world would fly apart tonight. But He holds it together with His power. Well now, with that being so, He can also hold you together. No matter what you face. And you are going to face some trouble. We all will, we have, and we will. But now, who's in charge? Yeah, that's right. Amen. And it is not only God our Father, and it is not only our Savior at the right hand of God now making intercession for us believers, but it's God, the Spirit, living in us, expecting us to walk in the Spirit and giving us guidance and not driving us, but leading us and whispering to us in a small voice that is inaudible, but you know He's there and you know He uses the Word of God to teach you what kind of a direction to take. And when you almost make a mistake and you enter into something that's sinful, He checks you and says, no, don't do that. And you're paying attention because you want to grow in grace and you want to be a blessing and you want to see people saved. And so therefore you say yes to the Spirit. You don't say no to the Spirit. Amen. So this business of some preachers getting them say, well, this is my opinion. What about thus saith the Lord? And when the truth is preached, it has an effect. And when you come away from a message, you're not ready to play volleyball. You're considering what the Spirit of God has used to speak to your heart when the preacher preached the message accurately. And you go home. And sometimes you don't go to sleep right away. Pastor, that happened with me when at the prayer advance, Brother Massengale brought one of those messages. Whew. Whew. I mean. Whew. It was gigantic. And I had a good bed. I did. And physically, I felt good. And I didn't hurt. But I couldn't sleep. And see, the problem was not with my body. The problem was with my heart. And some things had been addressed in Crabtree that the Spirit of God knew needed to be addressed. And I couldn't pass it off. Thank God. Amen. And it's speaking to my heart. I made some decisions. And along with that decision, there was a determination. That as best I'm able at my age, I must get all I can get from the book. Did you hear me? I must get all I can get. And with the determination, I can get a lot more than I have been getting since I lacked the same kind of determination. Did you hear that? So, I recognize, I know you recognize this, but you got to gird up your loins. You and I must put on the whole armor of God. And we must recognize that our weapons in this warfare are not carnal. And we must understand that the sword of the Spirit in its use by a life that's given in determination and dedication to the will of God, obeying the Spirit of God, makes all the difference. Jonathan slew single-handedly with his armor bearer a number of the enemy. Single-handedly. And you can do the same. You can do the same. You can take the truth in. You can ruminate. Meditate. And as you mull it over in your thinking, And suddenly, the promises toward the end of chapter 3 become so vital that you face the enemy that's through chapter 2. And you are determined that at whatever price you must pay, and at whatever cost comes to you, you will not dip the flag. And I'm not being disrespectful. Now, please don't take this as being lighthearted. I am not. But you be so convinced and blessed that you would be willing to charge hell with a bucket of water. Are you hearing me? And so the darkness grows thick. We sense it. We know it. It's in all of our devices that we use. All the pop-ups. You have to restrict yourself so that in discipline you can when it appears. And you have to get to where you are able to flee the lust that surrounds us on the billboards and the advertisements. Even toothpaste has sensuality. And you say, and so as this condition does surround us, and impiety and licentiousness are rampant throughout the whole world now, and many live like pigs and wild dogs, and they're devoid of any kind of reverence and respect. And just hear this, there is coming a day when there will be a voice and it will thunder. And you and I have the blessed hope. And with that being so, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And you and I can face the enemy in the power of the Spirit of God. Not in the flesh. And so you need to understand that whoever gets around you and makes an effort, whoever ever robs you of God's word and God's way, robs you of your future. I don't want anything to diminish the meaning of the verses that I've read. I don't want anything to diminish my time spent each morning. And each morning, once again this morning, Philippians chapter 2, I don't want anything to diminish. In fact, read it again and again and again and again. And I don't ever want it to become same old. No, no, no. It came from God. And I'm the servant of God. And I want to be used of God. I don't want to squander, waste. So I want to understand that when Peter says, and beloved, be diligent. I know what that means. Notice he calls the believer beloved. And notice his instruction, be diligent. But he also says, beware. Be diligent, beware. And so I'm living, and you're living in dangerous days. And the opportunities have, hear me, the opportunities have never been greater. Let me say that again. The opportunities have never been greater. And I want to be sure that I buy up those opportunities. See, here's the point. God is patiently waiting for the lost to trust His Son. That's why we have not experienced the rapture yet. He's patiently waiting that the lost might be saved. And He wants us to present the gospel and a lifestyle that's thoroughly surrendered, submitted to Him. And see, the fact is, the will of man opposes the will of God. And the ruin of men, don't miss this, the ruin of men lies within themselves. That's why there is required a new birth. I remember when my daddy got saved. Oh, whoa, whoa. I mean, it was so exciting. It was like a gigantic Roman candle. I mean, I remember walking into the hospital room with my mama. And my dad's face was different. His speech was different. I mean, I'm just a boy, huh? But boy, I mean, I knew it was different. And that faithful Mexican boy that came down that aisle and said, each day, Senior Crabtree, you should trust Jesus. And he was faithful. That's all he said. And he was faithful. And he said it every day, every day, every day. And the day came when my daddy trusted Jesus. And when we came into the room that night, he was different. And he never got over it. And you know what? Only one of my dad's brothers got saved. Out of a family of 17, all the rest of them went to hell. So, you need to understand, I need to understand that the gospel declared, you hear, you believe, and the Savior received. And the person redeemed, and the saved discipled, and the disciple churched, and the disciple are sent, and there is what you call reproduction. Wouldn't it be great if we just took that to heart, and instead of saying only when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, we would endeavor to be fruitful, multiply, and see the realms of the redeemed increased by thousands. Huh? Well, all of it to the glory of God. There are two things that are non-negotiable. Two things. Evil and righteousness. You listening? You can never see victory if you ever negotiate with evil. Can't do it. It's impossible. It's against the law of the universe. It's again what God says, who God is. But at the same time, growing in grace and becoming what God wants you to be, what God wants me to be. You can't negotiate with righteousness either. It is what it is, and all you can do is obey it or not obey it, and God help us to obey it. Amen.